read responsively from it in our New King James Bibles. Psalm 83.
Psalm 83, a psalm of Asaph. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God.
For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head.
They have taken crafty counsel against your people, and consulted together against your sheltered ones.
They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation. The name of Israel may be remembered no more.
For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you.
Against Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Ammonites,
Gabel, Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre.
Assyria also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah.
Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, as with Jabin at the brook Kishon.
Who perished with Hazor, who became his refuse on the earth.
Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeeb, yes, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna.
Who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a profession.
Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind.
As the fire burns the woods, and as the flame sets the mountains on fire,
so pursue them with your tempest, and frighten them with your storm.
Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord.
Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish.
That they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth.
Amen. Okay, as Pastor Parker said just a few moments ago, last week and in weeks previous, we've seen the people of God, as he mentioned, looking to God as the King of all the earth, and called the King of Kings, the one that's that would inherit all the earth, as he stood in the congregation of the mighty and judging among the gods. And we saw the end of last week, where he told the rulers of the earth at that time that they were rejected and shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. As we go along, or as we finish, really, this series here of the Psalms of Asaph, we see a final call to Jehovah God to come out, to not be silent, to not be still, not to hold his peace. But as the people of God are being attacked, as the people of God are being, well, as the evil ones seek to destroy the people of God, to come out and defend them. Now, in the progression of the Psalms we've been looking at, we can see now that as the gospel goes out over the earth, the people of the earth, the nations around them, try to destroy the gospel and the people of God. Now, the psalm did have application historically. But if you look at everything that's named, all the different nations and all, and it's put in the past of Midian with Sisera and Jabin, this didn't really happen. This particular confederation that's mentioned isn't really historical. But all of these nations are being spoken of as types, shadows of nations to come, of different peoples out to harm the people of God. And most, I couldn't find all of them, but I didn't look as hard as maybe I could have. I didn't find all of them spoken of typically. But many of these are spoken in other places of the Bible as signs or placeholders for other enemies of the gospel and enemies of the church. Of Edom and Ishmael, those are spoken of very clearly in several places, those who would destroy the church. Moab has been, I couldn't find the Hagrites. Amalek is used many places as those who would not only withstand but try to destroy the people of God. Philistia, of course, and the inhabitants of Tyre who were also Philistines. The Assyrians are used very much also. We have a Selah here after verse 8, where God is called to stand up to defend his people, but not just defensively, but to go on the attack. Look at all these people who have consulted together with one consent to form a confederacy against you. And it goes on to list the ones that I've mentioned. So the statement here, the position, is that these evil ones, the enemies of God, have risen up to attack God's people. Now notice that these aren't called the enemies of God's people. These are ones who are those who hate God Himself in verse 2. Those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. The enemies of God can't reach Him. The enemies of God can't see Him. But the enemies of God are continually ashamed, embarrassed, and threatened by seeing God's people. And those are the ones that they can reach. So those who hate God attack God's sheltered ones. And if we hear, when we see the phrase sheltered ones, we should think of Psalm 91, those who are sheltered by God's wings. Now starting in verse 9, we have a plan of action here. Calling upon God to deal with them. And how is He going to deal with them? Well, as He did with the people at Midian, as with Sisera and Jabin at the brook of Kishon. Everyone remembers that, where the army was completely destroyed. And as Sisera, the general of Jabin, fled from the scene, well, a woman drove a nail or a tent peg through his head and nailed him to the ground. There where the people of God were afraid, the men that God put in place to do the right thing were afraid and wouldn't do the right thing. And I could make a joke about a guy named Barak that wouldn't do what he was supposed to, but I'll forbear. We see that those who perished at Endor became as refuse on the earth. We see the people, or the psalmist, crying out to God to make their nobles like Oreb and Zeeb and Zeba and Zalmunna and other names that we don't really mean a lot to us. But those who attacked Israel, who tried to take the place of God, the land of God. 13 and on, we see the call to make them like the whirling dust, like chaff before the wind. As fire burns the woods, as flame sets the mountains on fire, pursue them with your tempest, frighten them with your storm. So we see that God is the God of nature, the Creator God, has all these resources at His hands. And He can use all of these to pursue the enemies of God and His people. But look at the next verse. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Jehovah. We often hear, and sometimes we think, if we're not paying attention or if we let ourselves be led astray, that in the Old Testament days the gospel wasn't there. And that it was the anger of God burning against His enemies to destroy and to kill and to make them go away. And that's the way it was until the Christian age when everything got nice. And that's simply not the case. Here in the Psalms we see many references similar to this verse 16. But it's very clear here that the people on the earth were shown God's power, that they should seek His face, that they should seek His name. They should be put to shame and perish, those who would not convert, those who would not see the truth of God, that they may know that You, whose name alone is Jehovah, are the Most High over all the earth. Now again, I'm going to put a plug in here for the fact that we should use God's name when the Bible says His name. You know, we see the all capitals there of Lord. It says, they shall know that You, whose name alone is Yahweh. We should not be afraid to name the name of God. You are the Most High over all the earth. So as Psalm 82 ended, Psalm 83 ends also, with the reminder that God, our God, is the God of all the earth. Now that has implications for us as Christians that we need to pay attention to. Now, we know that the enemies of God, are going to rise up against the church and try to silence us. We see that all the time. We know that the enemies of God are going to try to wipe us out. We see that. Not so much in this area, but there are places that you can die for being a Christian. We need to remember that God, first of all, is the Creator God, the one with all the power. If it serves His purposes for us to die for Him, then that's fine. But we need to remember that we're not powerless, and neither is He. So to give up in despair, that's not the same thing as submitting in faith. But the other thing we need to remember is that God is not the God of the Christians. We hear that so often, and we kind of accept that, and it's wrong. All the people of the earth belong to God. They're just in rebellion. They don't have the right to not believe. They don't have the right to believe what they want. It's our job to take the Word of God out there. It's the church's job to take the gospel to all the nations, because He is the Most High over all the earth. We need to keep that in mind as well. So in Psalm 83, we have here, when the gospel goes forth, when God judges the earth, when God inherits the nations, the people that are being dispossessed don't take it nicely. They don't take it well. They're going to fight back. And the people of God have to appeal to Yahweh, the Creator God, to defend, to be on our side. He does the fighting for us. We don't do that. And to remember that He is the Lord and He is God, the Most High over all the earth. So as we sing Psalm 83, let's sing it not thinking about the Israelites necessarily thousands of years ago, but think of the gospel going forth and the people in the lands resisting it, and God in His power protecting His people. Psalm 83c.